you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast.
Caleb Williams, I have some friends that are Bears fans, obviously. I mean, I haven't seen Bears fans as excited as they took Justin Fields 3 years ago. Hopefully this works out better.
Analyst for Westwood One.
Bully ball up front. It's just inside zone to the left. That's as physical of a play as you get.
Ross Tucker with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
If Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift came on, I would rock out because that song's awesome.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertip. And Ross joins us on the Turo Tire Hotline. Turo, your hometown tire, Turo.com. Ross, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, guys. I am fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, you're right about the Bears being very, very shot out of a cannon. Bears fans extremely excited about the start of the season, looking forward to seeing what the team looks like. There are concerns, but I don't think there are any dominating concerns that would seemingly impact the way they play this season in terms of cutting down to 53.
Well, it's interesting because I think they have a chance to have a nice season. I guess the biggest thing I come back to, or the two biggest things that are kind of related, are just the fact that Caleb Williams is still a rookie. And I know we can point to what C.J. Stroud and the Texans did last year, but, that's more the exception than the rule when it comes to rookies. And also, it's not like the Texans, were a dominant team last year all year and won some great division, right? I mean, they were in a terrible, terrible division that they barely won at the end of the year, whereas the Bears – that's probably the toughest division in the NFC. And even though the Bears have made a bunch of upgrades, quarterback likely one of them, I still don't think they're better than Detroit.
Right.
I still don't think they're better than Green Bay. So, I mean, you guys tell me, how often does the third best team in a division make the playoffs? It happened. It happened last year in the AFC North, and certainly could happen with the Bears. But it's not going to be easy, because if you're the third best team in the division and you got a rookie quarterback who's going to have, they're going to lose a couple of games this year because of Caleb Williams.
No doubt about it. I think you're probably right in projecting that. They're also going to win a couple games because of Caleb Williams. And I think when you talk about aspirations or expectations, what you just said, I don't think is unacceptable for Bears fans with these expectations, because you can win more than you lose and still miss out on a playoff berth and have a very good season. I think the key here, Ross, is that the arrow pointing up at the end of the year is the most important thing for Caleb Williams, for this organization, for Matt Eberflus, or whatever. I don't know that you have to make the playoffs to feel good about this season.
I think that's an interesting point, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I guess I wonder if everybody listening and everybody that calls in feels that way, because it feels like the expectations in Chicago are really high. And I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, talking about it on my podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, you get a little bit concerned when there's high expectations for a rookie quarterback, right? I mean, we've all seen what he did in the preseason. We've seen the spectacular plays. He's going to make a number of spectacular plays this year. The question will be, how many negative plays does he make? How many plays does he make that are the reason why the Bears ultimately lose that game? And are Bears fans as measured as you are, David? I don't know if that's the case. I know this. I tend to agree with you, right? Let's say they just go 9-8, which would be fine, right? Not all 9-8s are created equal. I mean, if they start out 7-2 and finish 9-8, that's going to be a problem,
right?
If they start out 2-7 and finish 9-8, that would be much, much better. So that's the point. Is I agree with you. At the end of the year, I think you want to feel good about the head coach, good about Caleb Williams, and feel like he made the rookie mistakes early in the year, and by the end of the year was playing at a higher level, a high enough level that you can feel confident going into next year that you could be as good as anybody in that division.
Yeah, I think the problem that they – I totally agree with your take on it. The problem they have is that, you know, not only are those two teams ahead of them, but both those teams won in the playoffs last year. They didn't just get to the playoffs. They won a game, and you look at Green Bay, they were like as young a team as there was in the leagues. They're still very young, and you do kind of take that into account, the quarterback, their quarterback, Jordan Love. You kind of look at that stuff, and you feel like if the Bears are going to have a successful – what's interesting is all their division games are way late in the season. They actually have like a whole slate of games, and then they play the division – after they've kind of established where they're at. But you kind of know that there's always going to be some issue no one expected that comes up for a team. It's almost like you're going to need the fates to intercede in a little bit if you're going to really take advantage of this year and have a good year. You might need something awful to happen to someone else, as bad as that sounds.
Yeah, no, as you were talking, I was thinking – with all the division games being late in the year, you know, and this is not like breaking news. This is not going to be in the open next time you guys have me on the show. But, you know, the health will be a major factor for those division games late, right? I mean, it matters. You know, these are close games where, you know, there's not a lot of margin for error. And if one team is down 3-0 linemen, I mean, obviously if it's a quarterback or something, that's even more. But those things could be the difference in the game. It's funny, Molly, just as you were saying, both those teams won playoff games. Not only that, both those teams were like any one of five plays away from beating the best team in the NFC, right? I mean, I think most people would agree the Niners were the best team in the NFC last year. That Packers game, I still can't believe they blew that game. And the Lions, too, with the lead they had. It's actually remarkable that the Niners came back to win both of those games and that neither one of the Packers nor the Lions were able to close that out. But, I mean, we got really, really close to either, you know, an all-NFC North Conference championship game or the Detroit Lions being in the Super Bowl. I mean, we got about as close as you can. So it's a really good point that not only are those teams probably better than Chicago right now, but just the confidence that comes from the Packers smashing the Cowboys and knowing that they should have beat the Niners and the Lions winning two playoff games. I mean, those teams are thinking Super Bowl. The Bears are hoping to make the playoffs. The Packers and Lions are thinking we should go to the Super Bowl this year.
So, Ross, when you look at the Bears' offensive line, I know there's some issues with the uncertainty surrounding Ryan Bates, but overall, as a group, as a unit, what do you think of it, and how does it compare to others around the league?
Yeah, so, I don't think you guys played it in the open. I think we cut that out, but it was from a couple years ago where I said that I only had him ranked 32nd because, you know, I didn't have him 33rd because only 32 teams.
Remember that.
I'll give Ryan Poles a lot of credit. He deserves it. He's put a lot into it in terms of bringing in some free agents and obviously the draft choices. And I don't think they're a top 10 offensive line yet. I don't think they're there, but they're young enough, and I've seen enough promise from the guys they do have, the young tackles, Jenkins at left guard. I think Bates, I like Bates as a player. I haven't really seen him play center, you know, so that's the part I'm curious about. I called Bates all three of his state championship games in high school. I remember he was in 10th grade in high school at Archbishop Wood in suburban Philly. I watched every snap he played at Penn State. I've actually watched way too much Ryan Bates in my life. But I still have never seen him play center. But my point is, I think they're probably in the top half of the league as long as he can play solid. And because they're still young at a bunch of spots, they have the chance to, by the end of the year, you know, maybe even sneak into the top 10 O-lines, which would really be something. And it obviously puts Caleb Williams in a much better spot than Fields ever was, which is a whole other thing, right? Like, you look at the skill guys, you look at the defense, you look at the O-line. I mean, Fields has to be in Pittsburgh looking at the, like, watching Hard Knocks being like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you got to be absolutely kidding me right now.
So Russ, I'm curious. Obviously, you see the Eagles quite a bit. I'm very interested in them. Saquon Barkley coming in. How I've heard great things about Jalen Hurts being better and feeling better, and playing better. I don't think he hadn't thrown a pick forever. And then I'm curious of what's going on with in the same state with Pittsburgh. I just don't know that they have a quarterback. I know they have a competition. Seems like both those guys' numbers are like absolutely even. But can you tell us about the two teams in your state?
Sure. So Eagles still have a very, very talented team. I think they have significant upgrades at both coordinator spots. Mm. I think that's what let them down last year. I think they did not do very well at offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator last year during that collapse at the end. It's a real missed opportunity because they still might have had maybe the best roster in the league last year. You got to take advantage of that when you have that. But, you know, obviously they stumbled at the end. It was bad. Hurts did have a terrific camp. I think they're going to be really good again. I'd be surprised if they're not. I think the Jahan Dotson move was significant. I think the Cowboys are taking a little of a step back. So I think the Eagles, I'd be surprised if they don't win the division and then be in the mix to be in the final four in the NFC, certainly with San Francisco, Detroit, and Green Bay. I mean, those seem like the four best teams because Hurts really did look that good in training camp. So you have to decide, I guess, whether or not how much you think that matters, that he looked that good, but he did. And then for the Steelers, they got a lot of interesting things going on. First of all, they've invested a lot in the offensive line, and yet, you know, it's still unclear if those guys are ready to be a top half of the league unit. They have a very difficult schedule, especially in the second half of the year. I mean, I think it's the toughest schedule in the league this year. And then the quarterback thing is fascinating. You know, my guess is they'll start with Russell Wilson and then go to Fields at some point because that makes more sense than the other way around, right? Like, if you give Russell Wilson a chance, if he's winning, if you're playing well, you leave him in there. If not, then you go with Fields because Fields is the guy that you kind of feel like maybe could be the guy for years because of his age, if he develops and if he's good in Arthur Smith's system, whereas Russell Wilson, it's so interesting because nowadays we think of quarterbacks so often like Brady and Breeze and Aaron Rodgers playing into their 40s. Russell Wilson looks to me like a guy that lost a step, and that step is the difference between him being a good player, really good player, and an average player. you know, what made him so special is he was like Fran Tarkenton back there. Like, the first D lineman that would get in there could never catch him. He'd always run around. If you watch now, they catch him. They get him. He's not as explosive in his lower body and able to get away from these guys like he used to be. We know Arthur Smith was a college offensive lineman. He loves to run the ball. He wants to run it. And it just feels like Fields is such a better fit for Arthur Smith's offense with his ability to run than Wilson is, right? Like, all the stuff Arthur Smith wants to run, you know, is complemented so well by how explosive Fields is as a runner. And so I think my prediction would be Russell Wilson gets a couple games. Next thing you know, here comes Fields. And I think Fields will do some really nice things, in particular because of the run game and play action. But I just don't know that I don't know if Fields will ever be what anybody was hoping he could be, but it feels to me like the Steelers this year could sort of be like the Eagles in Jalen Hurts' first year as a starter, where it was heavy run game, heavy quarterback run game, and that was enough to get them the 10 wins in the playoffs.
Ross, do you consider the Bears' defense a top five unit, and why or why not?
Boy, it's a good question. I mean, I haven't sat there and you know, ranked like the defenses and to really know. I know just from doing that Falcons game in week 17 last year on New Year's Day in the snow, which was still so cool. I mean, to call a Soldier Field game in the snow, you know, on network television, that was just awesome, man. Just awesome. And I thought they were a top five defense the way they were playing toward the end of last year. So because of that, my guess is probably, yeah. If they build on where they left off last year, they just have a lot of the things that you're looking for, right? Like they've got the edge rusher with Sweat, and they've got the elite corner with Jalen Johnson. They've got other guys that maybe aren't as well known, like TJ Edwards, that play really well. So they certainly have a chance based on how that unit was playing, you know, down the stretch last year.
It's fascinating to me to look at the Bears and think about the fact that they just made two moves over the weekend. They got themselves a pass rusher from Seattle, Darrell Taylor, for a sixth-round pick, and then they swapped out a sixth for a seventh-round pick and picked up a defensive tackle in Chris Williams from Cleveland. And, you know, I just think that they're still trying to improve their defensive line as you're on the verge of the season. We know from watching Hard Knocks how close they were in the Matthew Judon sweepstakes. They clearly understand that they need more help opposite of Montez Sweat. But it looks like they've gotten a little bit better with that. And, you know, their secondary is pretty good. I just wonder, when you see moves like that before the cutdown, doesn't that kind of say something about that there aren't going to be guys out there at these positions, or there's nobody that they really – that intrigues them enough to wait?
Yeah, so two thoughts. If anything prevents them from being in the top five defense, it will be the D-line, right? I mean, you look at the top five defenses – they've got a bunch of guys on the D-line that are monsters, and they roll through them. I don't know if the Bears are quite there. I think the strength of the Bears might actually be the secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I love Kyler Gordon as a nickel corner. I think that might be the strength. And I also think I give Poles credit for being aggressive to try to just get some guys that'll give them some snaps that will help them, even if they're not an elite D-line, to be good enough at that position. And to your question, Molly, because teams play at least eight D-linemen, and they keep, you know, 10, 11, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if there's teams that keep 12 D-linemen, but they're going to keep at least 11, and some will keep 12. I mean, the guys that do end up being available, that, you know, that's not what you're looking for, right? I mean, if every, I mean, do the math. If every team is keeping on average 11 D linemen, the guys that end up on waivers are guys that, you know, if the team thought that they could be a guy that makes a difference for them with the snaps they get, because every D lineman seemingly plays like at least 15, 20 snaps, they wouldn't be letting those guys go with roster cuts. Then again, I mean, they probably wouldn't be trading them for late round picks either.
Great stuff, Ross. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. Ross.
Of course, always. Great talking with you guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips.
Real quickly, so the Seahawks trade Daryl Taylor to the Bears.
Yep.
Get a pass rusher. Now the Jaguars are trading Travis Gibson to the Seahawks for a late-round draft pick. Former Bear.
Remember
goes
him?
To Seattle.
Yeah.
3-4, probably better fit for him, which is why he's probably on the way there.
Interesting. 312-644-6767. Mullion Haw on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. John Heyman joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your favorite hometown tire, Aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm starting to notice. I haven't spent a ton of time, but I think this Aaron Judge kid's got a shot. I think this guy could be a pretty good player.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I was there yesterday, now on pace for 63 home runs. That is not easy to do, particularly when they should be pitching around you. And some of the Mariners have pitched around him, but, you know, it's just amazing. Incredible. 227 OPS plus is all-time great, right up there with Barry Bonds and Babe Ruth and Ted Williams, and that's about it.
How much better of a season is he having than Shohei Ohtani? Is it close? Is it
no.
Because obviously
not close.
Ohtani's 40-40.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, not close to me. I mean, Judge is playing center field also, and he's on, as I said, on pace for 63 home runs. So, you know, I don't think WAR is perfect, but it's, you know, like a 9 WAR to a 6 WAR at this point. So. It's close to 50% better by WAR. I'm not sure it's that much better, but it's certainly better. I mean, I think there are a few people in the American League doing better than Ohtani at this point. I think Soto is, and I think Bobby Witt is also.
I saw Ohtani pitched off the mound. He's now back, and will he eventually? Let's just play out a scenario. There's a World Series. Judge is up at bat, and they decide, no, we're taking out Michael Kopech, and we're going to roll in Shohei Ohtani. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, can't rule it out at this point. Who knows with the Dodgers? These pitchers are in and out. Who knows? They Gonsolin could come back. I don't know. You've got the Kershaw's now back. Bueller was back. Then he was gone. Then he's back again. I mean, Yamamoto, is he going to be ready? They got about nine guys who are really all-star level or all-time great level who are possible, but who knows about any of them at this point. I mean, you know, I think that if the Dodgers are at full strength, they're the favorite, but we just don't know where they stand at this point.
Out in Seattle, John, Scott Servais learned he was fired via social media. Then they talked to him. Seems like he was mistreated a little bit, but looking ahead, because of what he accomplished in Seattle, how attractive will he be as a possible candidate for teams looking for managers?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I mean, he's very, very close to Jerry DePoto, you know. So I'm not sure. He certainly has experience. He's got a winning record. He did get the Mariners into the playoffs one time, which is an accomplishment for the Mariners. But I'm not so sure. I think Skip Schumacher is a big candidate. And, you know, probably somebody will try to talk Dusty Baker into coming back and – who knows? But I'm not sure. I'm not sure on Scott Servais. Wow. There will be other openings, I do think. I mean, we know the White Sox are an opening, but, you know, I'm just looking at Toronto as a possibility. We'll see about St. Louis as a maybe. You know, I think Pittsburgh and Cincinnati love their guys. Not sure why, but they seem to. You know, like with anything, it's more important to get along with the bosses than to actually do well.
Speaking of the Sox, they did it. They actually did it. They got to 100 losses on the 25th day of August. No one has ever been that bad. So I don't know, John. I mean, honestly, I say this sincerely, I don't know how they don't win 100 next year. They've done it 2 years running. I mean, it really feels like a commitment to awfulness.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to avoid losing 100 next year. I mean, they're right now on pace to, let's say, probably 123, 124 losses. So, you know, if they only lose 100 next year, it's still going to be probably a 23, 24 game improvement, which is not easy. I mean, I know the Royals have gone from 106 losses to looks like they're going to have 90 wins this year or so. That's amazing. Good for them. But, of course, they went out and spent. And, you know, I mean, the White Sox can spend, but, you know, they're not going to spend their way to 90 wins like the Royals did. So, it's more than a year away, Mully. I'm sorry.
You know, back in the National League, you look at what the Padres have done, and they put themselves in great position. And now they get Yu Darvish back after almost 3 months with a personal issue. Are they emerging, John, as a team that you think could challenge the Phillies, the Dodgers, and be as good as any going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they say it's a crapshoot this year. It certainly appears that way. There's no team on pace for 100 wins. We've got no super teams, not even close, right? So, I mean, the Dodgers right now have the best record in baseball. They're on pace around 97 wins, but who knows with them, as I said. Padres are hot. The Diamondbacks are hot. Either of those teams could advance to the World Series. Certainly the Diamondbacks did it last year when they weren't nearly as good. Their rotation looks excellent at this point, and same with the Padres with Musgrove now back. You've got Darvish on the cusp. He will be back very soon pitching, and they've got that lockdown bullpen, which they acquired half of it at the deadline, and they're trouble. They really are. I mean, look at the team they had last year with Soto and Snell and only 182 games. That, to me, is the shocker. The Padres are a good team, and they are a team to be reckoned with.
John, the Cubs go down to Miami, and they take advantage of Miami, and they score runs, and they look great. Then they come back for the sweep, and they just go all Cubs on the thing. They once again fail to score runs. They once again fail to get some runners in scoring position knocked in, and they lose a game yesterday. And I mean, I know it sounds like a weird lament that you're not sweeping teams, but if they're actually going to make a move of some kind, they need to put together a run of games. And their longest run has been five games, five consecutive wins. They've done that twice. They just don't score runs. They don't score enough runs on a continuing basis to be able to sweep some of these series. And it's got to be really frustrating for anyone that follows the Cubs.
Yeah, Molly, you hit on it exactly. The offense needs to be better. Suzuki is having a nice year, but nobody else is really outperforming or even performing to standard. I think Happ should be doing better. Bellinger should be better. Swanson certainly should be better. They're not hitting like they should be. And even at their optimal, they probably aren't quite good enough hitting team. They've got a tall task at this point. To try to beat out the Mets and the Braves. They've got to beat them both. And not going to be easy, but, they're not completely out of it, a game under at this point. So they still have a shot as we head towards September. So that is something, but I am with you. I am concerned about that offense. Doesn't appear to be quite good enough.
So I'm back to Aaron Judge for a moment. We haven't talked to you since he was criticized by a Little League coach from Staten Island, was it, that he didn't spend enough time with the kids when they were there in Williamsport for the Little League World Series. Little League World Series ended last night in spectacular fashion, dramatic victory. But I wonder, what was behind that? Did Aaron Judge snub somebody?
I can't imagine. Is it possible he wasn't, he was waving to one side and didn't wave to the other? There were a lot of Little League teams there, and apparently that team, which is a local for Aaron Judge in New York, a Staten Island team, thought they were going to get special treatment because it's a local team. I don't know exactly what happened. I will say that it's hard to be better than Aaron Judge is with fans generally. I was not there. Obviously, look good on TV. ESPN made everybody look magnanimous and fantastic, and the whole thing spectacular and really nice, but I can't imagine Aaron Judge was anything but kind. He is very good with the fans. I can't imagine a superstar player being any better with fans generally than he is. You don't know. You see on Twitter, the coach is a Mets fan. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they had higher expectations that they sit down with each kid individually. I don't know what they were expecting, but that does not sound like Aaron Judge to me.
This segment with John Heyman is brought to you by Grainger, official partner of the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley Field. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by Grainger. John, I wonder, as we talk about Aaron Judge, obviously Juan Soto's pretty good too. Is he going? I mean, he's obviously heading to free agency, and he would be the guy that everybody would want. Is he going to stick around? Is his relationship with Judge such that the two of them want to get it done together? Do the Yankees want to pay him what it would cost to keep him?
Yeah, I mean, I think the relationship is good, but even more important, it's good for his career to have Aaron Judge banding behind him. It certainly helps him to have somebody that good, who nobody wants to face, batting behind him. So I do think that's a positive. There are other positives to the Yankees, obviously. But, we're going to have to see who's going to come up with the money, because generally that is what free agency is about. I don't think it was the case with Ohtani, who made basically the same offer to five teams and then picked the Dodgers, one of the three, at least three, that said yes to it. Because I think he wanted to go for comfort. He wasn't that concerned about the money. As we saw later, $17 million was stolen from him without him noticing. But that's a rare guy. I think if $17 million was stolen from most people, they would probably notice. Unless they, had $50 billion, then you might not notice. But I think Soto is a typical free agent who's looking at the deal and who wants him the most, and will probably go to the high bidder. But the Yankees do have some advantages, Judge being one of them.
Great stuff. Great talking to you, John. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, John.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a good week.
That's our guy, John Heyman, the New York Post, MLB Network, does our show every week. I love John.
Yeah, he's right about Aaron Judge having one of those rare type of seasons. And almost overshadowing a little bit how good Ohtani has been. And you look at Bobby Witt Jr., he's making the case that two players in the American League have had better seasons than Shohei Ohtani, who has 40-40, and we're not even to September 1st.
But the thing about Judge is, like, you know, we have a texter. Oh, look at all these guys. Judge is, that's a giant. That's just a giant of a man. That is Paul Bunyan.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, don't text in questioning Judge, for God's sake. All right, we got a lot to get to. A lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
I think we're all set. Here's a drive to deep right off the bat of Crow Armstrong. That's going to be off the glove of the right fielder Sanchez. It rolls out toward right center. Crow Armstrong racing around third. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate. The slide. He is saved. Inside the park. Home run. Pete Crow Armstrong. Electrifying. The Marlins might. They're not going to challenge the play. An inside the park home run. One of the most exciting things you can ever see in a ball game.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Boy, it wasn't great.
How about that?
PCA, 14.08 seconds around the bases. The fastest anybody's gotten from home to home since Byron Buxton in 2017. So that was exciting. On brand, and then he topped it off a day later by hitting one like into the upper deck, one of the longest home runs of the season for the Cubs. So PCA had a pretty good weekend until going 0-for-4 yesterday.
Right. That's going to happen.
What? On that team, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But he has been pretty good over the last month or so, to the point where I think it was a fair question Paul Sullivan raised in the Tribune this morning. When are they going to lead him off? When does that make sense for a team and an offense that's struggling for consistency? He has been consistent.
Yeah, they should.
Over the last
month.
Don't you think?
Yeah, he's been a lot better. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We have our buddy John is on the road. Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, first of all, I'm always listening. I don't even miss a show on Saturdays. David, your show is fantastic. But in honor of National Dog Day, which is today, I'd like to talk about our Chicago White Sox. For the life of me, I just have one question, and I think it's fair for a Chicago White Sox fan to ask, when is Jerry Reinsdorf going to stand in front of a microphone and tell us what the hockey sticks is going on 35th and Shields? I know he's like Deion Sanders. He selects the people in the room. But White Sox fans deserve to hear what is going on with this team, and I'd like to hear what you guys got to say about it. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, John. I don't know that Jerry has any interest in explaining himself or in defining what's happening or justifying whatever decisions were made. I would be surprised to hear from Jerry.
Yeah, I don't think we expect that. I don't think anybody really anticipates him calling an end of the season State of the Sox press conference. He could conceivably. Here's what I would advise him to do if I were giving him advice. There is an opportunity at the end of this season for him to look ahead. They are launching a new network. There would be an opportunity to have a very candid, open discussion, conversation. I don't know that he has to open it to everybody, but I think there, as John expresses, there is a need to hear from somebody who's making these decisions, whether it's to justify them or explain why there's reason for hope. Is there reason for hope?
No.
I know your answer is going to be that.
Well, I don't see it. Do you?
Well, look, I want to.
You know what the reason for hope
would be? Are you asking me as an analyst or as an objective outside person, or I'm talking about if I'm working for the White Sox.
Right.
I am finding a way to project hope based on the young pitchers that are in the system that you plan to keep and develop into the foundation for your next winning phase, whenever that may be, whenever that might start. Now, that sounds outlandish and unrealistic to people who have given up, and I understand that. because that's the objective part of me. But if you're working for the White Sox, you can't look at it that way. You've got to give people reason to buy their season tickets for 10% less than they paid this year and to believe that there is hope around the corner and they're not going to lose 100 again, even though they likely will, right?
I mean, best of all worlds, best of all worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You have a news conference today and you just announced team is for sale. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing anybody could hear? Because at this point, they're not trying to be competitive, are they? They're not. If this is their idea of being competitive, well.
I would prefer, not to quibble, but I would prefer the news conference to announce the team has been sold.
Okay.
And is sold to somebody who's going to keep it in Chicago.
Exactly.
So I don't have any problem with the fan base clamoring for a sale of the White Sox. I do hope, I really hope sincerely, that if they do sell the White Sox, it is to an investor or a group of investors that keeps them in the city.
I totally agree with that, but the first step would be just having that announcement. You're right. I mean, if the announcement were, hey, by the way, we sold the team and name a name. I don't know who lives here. Andrew Berlin, right?
Andrew Berlin would be.
That'd be a good guy.
Good name.
Take over, right?
Berlin Packaging.
Sure.
Part owns the South Bend Cubs.
There we go.
Longtime Sox guy before that.
Sure.
If you know something, tell me.
I'm just saying. I'm giving you an example of an idea that would be.
You want me to call him? You want me to get him on the show?
No more news conferences to discuss how much money you need or what you're going to get. We're selling.
Just do it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. That would give you hope, wouldn't it?
I think it would energize the fan base in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying I don't know what would fire me up.
I think what John is asking for, and I think what people tend to want from whether it's Jerry Reinsdorf or even Tom Ricketts or George McCaskey, sure, a level of transparency, a sense of optimism that things are, that they're committed to doing whatever's necessary to bring a winner to town.
312-644-6767. We've got Bruce Levine next. You think Bruce will tell us that Jerry's going to have a meeting with the media?
You can ask.
Mully and Hall on the Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.